Well, good morning. I would like to say thank you to all of you for everything. I'd like to say thank you to all of you men who have done everything to put on this meeting. I know, and we know what it takes to have a meeting. And thank you to all of the work that goes into the grounds and the building, and thank you, Art, for leading the singing, and thank you, men, for reading the scripture and praying for us, and thank you for running the streaming, and thank you, ladies, for all of your cooking. It is just so critical but special whenever a body of believers in one heart and one mind come together for the same cause and the same purpose. And it means the world to us. It just means the world to us. The food is delicious. And I truly thank you for that. I thank you, my longtime dear friend, for having me. Sorry. Thank you for still being my friend. And thank you to this congregation for being my friend and Hannah's friend. Thank you for being the friend of the brethren in Kingsport. Thank you for giving to us and helping us with our building. I honestly can't put into words how much I love you and I thank the Lord for you. And I pray the Lord will help me right now to do what I'm called to do. I'd like to close out our meeting here with a favorite verse of Scripture of mine. I have so many, I say that all the time. But this is a favorite verse, and it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you'll turn with me there to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 17 is going to be our text this morning. And it says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." That is a beautiful summary of a saved sinner's heart. If you want to read the summary of a saved sinner's heart, the conclusion of the whole matter, if you want to get to the conclusion of the whole matter, that's the glorious declaration of it. That's the glorious declaration of Christ. Verse 17 says, "Now unto the King eternal." We're going to be crying this for all eternity. If you want to know what eternity is going to be like, you want to know what heaven's going to be like, we're all with one voice and one heart and one spirit and one mind going to be crying, "Now unto the King eternal." The King eternal. I was reading this morning, and I couldn't help but think of Michael the Archangel heralding to the congregation. Now unto the King eternal. And all of heaven cries, Amen. He says, Immortal. And all the congregation cries, Amen. Invisible. Amen. The only wise God. Amen. Be honor. Amen. And glory. Amen. Forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul just announced in verse 15 that he was the chief of sinners. That's one of my favorite verses. Chief of sinners. But he said in verse 16, I obtained mercy because that's who Christ came to save. He reiterated the fact that this man receives sinners. And all of God's sinful people who have obtained mercy, the same way Paul did, he said, I'm the pattern. How God saves me is how God saves all of them, in spite of me. And all of God's people, all of them have this to say in return to their Lord who saved them. Now unto the King eternal. Immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Those final words, those heart-concluding words, they are sometimes referred to as a benediction. Giving a benediction. There are benedictions all over this book. Wonderful benedictions. I wrote down a few that I want us to read together and enjoy together and say amen to together. All right, let's look at just a few of them. Then we'll come back to this one right here. Let's begin with the first great benediction that stands out in my mind. Our Lord gave this to us in Numbers chapter 6. If you want to turn with me over there. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise shall you bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. The Lord said, This is what I want you to say to them. These are my final heart-concluding words to my people. Verse 25, verse 24. The Lord bless thee. He said, Moses, I want you to tell Aaron and his sons to tell all my people, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. He said, you tell them, that's my concluding thoughts. And those are my concluding feelings toward them. You tell them, I will bless you. I'll keep you. I'll make my face shine upon you. I'll be gracious to you. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And if I chose to be gracious, I'll be gracious. I'll lift up my countenance upon you and I'll give you peace. That is beautiful. That's beautiful. That's what the God, has to say about His people. That's just beautiful. This one is a short benediction, but I love how this one ends. Turn with me over to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 52. It says, "Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen." One amen on that is just not enough. That's just not enough. David said, "I have two things to say about that. Amen and amen." Blessed, blessed, blessed. Oh, may the Lord let us enter into this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Things always get better when we stop focusing on ourselves and start focusing on the Lord. Things always get better. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 20. I love this. One of my favorite verses. "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." We have it how we would like things to go. It's in our mind. This is how I would like for things to go. This is what I would love to see happen. If you will, not my will, but thine be done. If you're willing, Lord, this is what I'd love to see happen. If what I'm thinking, if it could end this way, it would be wonderful. "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think." Not just do it and not just do above it, but exceeding abundantly above it. "According to the power that worketh in us." Verse 21 says, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. Amen. That is a glorious benediction. Look with me at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20. It says, "Now the God of peace." Don't you love that? "Now the God of peace." What made Him to be the God of peace? Verse 20 says, "He brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." That's what made Him the God of peace. That's what wrought peace and secured eternal peace for all of His people. Nothing sounds better than peace. Nothing sounds better than that. That peace is found in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father chose the sheep. The Son died for the sheep. The Spirit called the sheep. And because of that, all the sheep are eternally secure. They're all perfect. They're all made perfect. And they're in perfect peace. They're in the Prince of Peace. It's who Christ is, the Prince of Peace. Let me show you one more here. Go with me to Jude. This right here is one of my favorite verses. Jude 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Can we enter into that? Now unto the one who is not only able to keep us from falling head first into an eternal hell. Not only is He able to stop that from happening, He's able to present us faultless before the presence of His glory as He does it with His own exceeding joy. Our Lord endured the cross and He despised the shame. He did all that for the joy that was set before Him. Verse 25 says, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." Amen. These benedictions, these are what we will cry throughout all eternity. Just across my page in Revelation 1, the middle of verse 5 says, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." This is what they're crying in glory. "Thou art worthy, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing." This is what we'll be crying throughout all eternity. We're going to cry these heart-concluding words to Christ our Savior. And that includes the one that is our text this morning. So go with me back to 1 Timothy 1. Verse 17 says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's just line by line see what we're saying in this. Number one, who are we speaking to? It says, "Now unto the King." Now unto the King. Now unto the one who wears the crown. Now unto the one who is in control. Does it at all bring comfort and peace to your heart knowing that your Lord and King is in absolute sovereign control in a world that appears to be falling apart? Among lives that appear to be falling apart. Everything appears to be falling apart. Aren't you so glad to know that your King is seated on His throne, wearing His crown, ordering every exact thing that's taking place for the good of His people, for all these benedictions that He's given to His people? That word King right here in this verse of Scripture, when you look it up in our concordance, it's a Bible dictionary. It tells you the original meaning of these words. When you look it up, the word King means the sovereign. That's what it means. The sovereign. Now unto the sovereign. If a sinner ever has his eyes open to see Jesus Christ as He is, not how man wrongfully thinks He is, not how man has imagined him to be. Not how man stands up in pulpits and preaches him to be. Wrongly. But if a sinner ever has his eyes open to see Christ as he is, he's going to see the sovereign. He's going to see the ruler. He's going to see the controller. He's going to see the Lord God Almighty. I want to show you a couple of men who saw him as he is. Turn with me, if you would, over to Job 42. Job 42, verse 5, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. He said, I heard of you. I heard about you. But he said, now I see you. Now I have seen you. And in verse 6, he said, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I heard, but oh, now I've seen and I repent. I repent. He went on to say the Lord was rebuking him. And Job said, I think it's time I put my hand over my mouth. I think I'd better not say anything anymore. I've seen you for who you are. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 6. We quoted this yesterday. We'll read it today. Isaiah 6 verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Do you notice that that word Lord is capital L, lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D? You know who that is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord. You see that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D? That's Jehovah, the great God I am. He said, when I saw the capital L, lowercase O-R-D, I saw the capital L, uppercase O-R-D. I have seen the King. I've seen the King. Turn with me over to Daniel 3. I don't want to overturn you, but I want us to see these. Daniel 3. Let me show you one verse here so we can see who Nebuchadnezzar's talking about, all right? In Daniel 3, this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm sure we know that story. And they're in the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar has thrown them in there. And it says in Daniel 3, verse 25, Nebuchadnezzar, he looked into this fiery furnace. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. He said, I thought we threw three in there. Didn't we throw three in there? They said, yeah, King, that's what we threw. Three men in there. He said, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Who is the Son of God? Jesus Christ. That's who Nebuchadnezzar is dealing with here. In chapter 4, that's who dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up with pride. And he said, look at everything I've done. Look at everything I've built. And the Lord said, I'm going to deal with you. And he made him as a beast of the field. And you know that story. Out there, you know, eagle's feathers and claws and those kinds of things. And it says in chapter 4, if you look at chapter 4, verse 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Verse 37 says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and His ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, He's able to abase. He said, let me tell you from firsthand experience. He said, I thought I knew what a king was. I thought I was one. He said, now I've seen the King. I have seen the King. He said, we're dealing with the King here. The King. I'll show you one more man. The very man who penned our text. Look with me at Acts chapter 9. Acts 9, verse 1, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went up to the high priest. And what a foolish thing that is to do. Our Lord's going to tell him, if you mess with them, you're messing with me. You persecute them, you're persecuting me. But verse 2 says, he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, Christ the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, King, Sovereign, what will you have me to do? What is your will? He saw immediately, it's not what I'm going to do with you. It's not what I'm going to do for you. It's what are you going to do with me? And what are you going to do for me? He saw immediately who was in absolute control of him. And he cried, oh, Sovereign Lord and King, what would you have me to do? What's your will? Thy will be done. I'm your servant. You're not mine. I'm yours. If the Spirit of God ever reveals Christ to a sinner, as He is, then this is what the sinner will say. Go with me back to our text, 1 Timothy 1. Now unto the King eternal, forever. Forever. That brings great comfort to me. Have you ever had a president who you really, really liked? Now he's gone. You know, a lot of people liked different ones over the history books and all that kind of stuff. Have you ever thought, I wish he could be president again? But those days are over. All right, now this is the King eternal. Don't you love that? He has no successor. He's the great high priest because there's no successor. Now unto the King eternal. He is the King and He is going to be the King forever. When the angel came and told Mary of His birth, the angel said, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David, and He shall reign over the house of the sinner, Jacob. That's who His people will be. And He said He'll do it forever. And of His kingdom, there'll be no end. No end. By God's grace, by His Spirit, He has caused us to desire. He's caused us to want only one king. Who do you want to be king? While man says, I want to be king. Who do you want to be king? He's caused us to desire one king. And thank God, the only king we desire is going to be king forever. Forever. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Whenever the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon, and she brought all of these gifts and things, and you know, after she saw what he had, after she saw his people and his cupbearers and his ascent up to the temple, and there was no more spirit in her, and she realized, I'm nothing compared to this man. But this is what she said. She said, After I've seen the king, this is what she said. Because the Lord loved Israel, He made you king. That's the only conclusion you can come to. Every man has his own vine and fig tree. There's peace on all four sides. Because God loved His people, truly He made Christ king. Greatest King of kings that there is. Verse 17 says, Now unto the King, eternal, immortal. That means uncorruptible. Cannot die. Cannot decay. Cannot be destroyed. He said, Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The reason he said that is because he cannot die. He's immortal. In him, whatever he is, that's what we are. In Him we are immortal. We're immortal. 1 Corinthians 15 says, This mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Can't wait for that. And he said, Death is going to be forever swallowed up in victory. The only thing that's going to die is death. That's it. Victory, immortality. That makes God's people cry. Verse 17, Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible. Invisible, that means His fullness and His greatness and His majesty and His power and His glory could never fully be seen. Never. The glory of His person is past finding out. Never will we exhaust the fullness of Him. The other thing that means is He is both visible and invisible. He is seen right now on His throne. He is seen by those who have gone before us. They are worshiping at His feet, looking upon Him. Job said, With these eyes, I'm going to see Him. He is visible. And I'm telling you the honest truth. If two or three of us are gathered right here in His name, to honor and glorify Him, I'm telling you, He is inside this room. Can you imagine actually worshiping in the presence of God? Can you? He's in this room. Best seat in the house is that middle section. He said, I'm in the midst of you. Verse 17 says, Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. This is what God's people say. This is honestly what God's people say. It's His Word and His Word alone. I don't care what any man has to say. I'll take that to this level. I don't care what I have to say. I don't care what I think. I'm not interested in my opinion. Solomon said, of the writing of many books, there's no end. Much study is a weariness of the flesh. I don't care what men have to say. It's His Word, and it's His Word alone. For all eternity, we're going to be crying, it's Your Word and Your Word alone, whatever You say. You're the only wise God. Verse 17 says, be honor. That word means value. All value is bestowed on Him. Verse 17 says, and glory, that means magnificence, all magnificence, all majesty, all praise, all worship is bestowed on Him. Verse 17 says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And ever 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 and ever. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing His praise than the first day we got there. Forever and ever and ever. Verse 17 says, Amen. Amen. That word means that's the truth. That's what the word means. It means so be it. That's what the word means. Along with every other sinner who Christ saved, it means I wholeheartedly agree. Amen. Amen. In the Bible dictionary, when you look up that word, it says the word amen is the direct translation of the Hebrew word believe. It's the direct translation, the same word. Amen means I believe. That's what it means. I believe. Which is the same translation of the word faithful. Full of faith. Full of faith. I believe. In verse 15, Paul said, this is an amen saying. This is an amen saying right here. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And every sinner that He came into the world to save cries, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I believe. I believe. I pray God will give us faith to believe. Thank you.